All right, this is Wednesday evening, 4/28/21. Well, look up, it's going to be Christmas again. It's going by so fast. We're still looking at a no-nonsense look at the book of Revelation, and I'm going to speak on the second coming tonight. All right, Revelation 1:7 says, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. And they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen." Well, the Strong's, the word wail, W-A-I-L, means to beat the breast in grief. I guess it depends on what side you're on. All right, I'm going to look at a couple more scriptures. Isaiah chapter 2. Verse 19, it says, and I wrote here in my Bible, the elite bunkers, they shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty when he arises to shake terribly the earth. It's ringing. I can hear it. It's, yeah. Thank you. "In that day a man shall cast his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made, each one for himself, to worship to the moles and to the bats, to go into the clefts of the rocks and into the tops of the ragged rocks, for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty, when he arises to shake terribly the earth. Cease ye from man, whose breath is in his nostrils, from wherein is he to be accounted of?" So this is what's going to happen at his coming. Okay, John 19, verse 37, the last part of that verse says, "They shall look on him whom they pierced." All right, let's look now to Acts chapter 1. Verse 9. "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." So I present to you tonight, there's a whole lot of people that are just standing and just gazing. The angel said, he's going to come back the same way he left. No private rapture. No secret anything. Doesn't it say if he said they say to you, he's here, he's there, lo, he's here, lo, he's there. Don't go there, because that ain't him. He's already said, this is the way I'm coming. Same way I left, same way I'll be coming back. All right, gazing here means to observe fixedly. So into, get us out of here, Lord, that you don't see anything else, you don't do anything else. Yes, we're supposed to say, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus, but that's in respect to, you know, occupying. Occupying. If you're gazing off, you know, like a, you know, just, then you're not fixed. God has a fixed purpose for each one of us, so we need to find that and get in it and do it. I'm just standing around gazing, well, I guess I ought to do something. We see what the earth is like. These elites, these bunkers, they run to the holes in the rocks. That's their hideout. There are underground dumps all over this world, and some of them are thousands of years old, and they go very deep in the ground. They've got fancy trains and They even can transport back and forth under the ocean across the seas in these megaliths or whatever they call them. They've got these bunkers. Well, then you know what? When it's coming down, they're going to run for their bunkers, and they ain't going to be able to hide themselves from his coming. No, no way. Is the Lord coming? Yes. He will come just as he said he would. Then why do so many in the church have such a fixed gaze on a rapture? They want a bailout. They want the government to bail them out. They want anybody and everybody to bail them out. But there's not going to be a bailout. We are the ones that bail out. Do they believe him? If so, just as the angel indicated, there is a land to conquer. Why stand you here idling, gazing up? Or why be so fixed on what your troubles that you don't see anything else? See, this we all fall into that plot. We get so consumed of what we're going through in certain instances that we find ourselves so focused inward that isn't that like gazing up instead of being fixed on, okay, Lord, I know what your word says about this. I'm going to keep moving forward, and I'm going to accomplish what you want me to accomplish. It's like the angels are going, what's with you? Like, why are you standing here like this, gazing up? He'll be back. What did he tell him to do? Go to the upper room and get empowered with the Holy Ghost. And what happened then? Then they started spreading and taking the gospel. All right. Why do you stand here idle and gazing up when there is so much to do before he comes back? Let's look at 2 Peter. I don't know about you, but I'm not in a place where I'm ready to argue with anybody. I already know. This is 2 Peter 3. Start with verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Oh, you know, y'all have been saying that for thousands of years, and he still hadn't showed up. Ain't nobody coming. Yeah, he's coming. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning this promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Not a thief to those who are looking for him, but for those who don't. In the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens bring on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall meet with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and a new earth. Oh, did you hear that? New heavens and a new earth? You mean he's not looking for the rapture? He's not looking for the day we get to heaven and what a day of rejoicing that will be? We'll all see Jesus? We're all looking for our mansion in heaven? You see how we've been trained? It's all in heaven. Well, heaven's my home. Is it really? I don't see it that way. Heaven has never been our home. It may be a hotel until God restores all things, but Peter was looking forward to the restoration and the new heaven and new earth. Wherein dwelleth righteousness. We see it's in like verse 21 or 22 of Revelation about what's not even allowed in the city. Nothing that's a, nobody that's a whoremonger, nobody that's, you know, all these things. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Let me look over here and see if I can find, let's see where it says that. All right. This is chapter 22. Well, 21, we'll read that later. It's about the new heaven and the new earth. If you find it, tell me. Okay. All right. This is verse 12 of 22. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whoever loveth and maketh a lie. So there's another place, though, that says they will not be able to be any part of the city. Nothing at all. I don't know if y'all have heard this or not. And I kind of, it's mind-boggling when I hear it. It's about the quantum system. I keep hearing that it's not AI, it's God. Yeah. That the quantum system is God. And that this quantum system can perceive the wickedness of a man's heart, mm-hmm. their motives. And I'm going, ooh. Like these wicked bankers trying to be crooked and trying to keep people's money and do things. They've had that happen recently, and they honed in. The system honed in on it and got them, caught them. It does. They use different words, but I believe it's the same thing we're talking about here. That's a fraud-free system where that stuff will not be allowed. I'm thinking, oh my gosh. Awesome. All right, you notice here Peter didn't say when we all get to heaven what a day of rejoicing it'll be. Most Christians live that way. We're just in the nasty now. There's not much we can do about it, you know. Just do the best you can. Well, that's not what the scripture says. It says we're more than conquerors, that we're to be ruling and reigning as kings in this life. All right, Revelation 21, maybe I'll find that other scripture, 21, the first. Five verses says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. There was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Right here, let's keep reading. And he said unto me, it is done. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God. He shall be my son. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I like it. Peter was among those gazing up bunches, I'm sure, that day. There was 500 that saw him depart, and he told them to go tarry in Jerusalem until they were filled with power on high, and we see how many showed up. 120. All right, they were gazing up when Jesus went to heaven. He didn't say, I can't wait till the rapture, but he didn't wait until this earth was restored to where it was from the beginning. This is what God is going to do. Our home has never been heaven. Heaven is God's throne. I'm talking the third heaven. That's where God's throne is. Okay, let me finish here. Those that are waiting for an escape better beware. He is coming to judge. That's where there will be a lot of wailing. It's going to be a lot of wailing. Because when you talk to a lot of Christians about the end times and stuff, all they think about is their rapture. But that's not what it's about. He's coming as judge. He come the judge. Here come the judge. All right, Matthew 24. Let me get me a drink here. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you that there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? I think this is why probably Jesus wept over Jerusalem, because he knew they missed his day. And when we miss God's timing, it doesn't bode well. You know, maybe if they had, as a nation, had embraced him as Savior in the right context, maybe that other wouldn't have happened. I don't know. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. All we've had is 6,000 years of wars, continual wars. And what is the deep state fake president doing? He's trying to get us back in wars. Everything that the president made a peace, people he made peace pacts with, he is trying to start a war all over the country, or all over the nations at this time. Or so that's what's being presented to us. Ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. See, Satan is a warmonger. You talk about a war hawk, he's the supreme war hawk. He likes bloodshed, carnage, destruction. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. In fact, that's the deep state agenda. It's always been scorched earth. It's to kill out as many people as possible. I mean, the Georgia Guidestone says they want to reduce the population to 5 million worldwide. 5 million worldwide. You can read it for yourself. On the Georgia Guidestones, you can look it up. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. Is that what's going on now? And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. The Georgia Guidestones re-erected. Now they've put a protective fence around it because they've had people do graffiti against it. But it tells the plan out in four languages exactly what they're going to do and what they plan to do to the earth and to all the people. Mm-hmm. And they're moving forward with it. And this gospel of the kingdom, they'll continue on until the last way ever the last one of them's dead. That's just the way they are. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. That's why they have to be executed. It's because they won't stop. Their evil agenda. You talk about being sold out to the devil. They will not stop until. And some of them aren't quite human. I don't know. You know, we won't even go into that today. But when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, and in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand, then let them which be in Judea flee to the mountains. So he's talking about them, the abomination of desolation that happened in AD 70. He's telling them, when you're in Judea, you're going to flee to the mountains when this starts coming down. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. Pray ye that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. You know, I believe this was to be broken up here. This is two trains of thought. One was about their time, AD 70. The other part's about the end time. They ask him about two things. They ask about the end of the world. Let me make sure I'm right there. Well, they said, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Okay. For there shall be, all right, I read that, 25. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he's in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chamber, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even to the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. And the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. If we go by the constellations, that happened the day that Trump was inaugurated or elected. It was either elected or inaugurated. I forget which one. According to people that follow the stars, and a lot of the people in the Old Testament did. I mean, God told Abraham to look at the stars. I mean, they did. They followed the stars for signs, because they were for signs of seasons and times, you know, in years and all that mess. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Just like he said in Acts, coming back. Not two comings. Not some secret something. Pretty plain and open, right? And he shall send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But the day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Man, we live in those days for sure. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. I heard Charlie Ward say that about, he has been told 56% to 60% of the population are awake. And he said they have to have it at least at 60% before they can proceed forward. They really want it higher than that. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be left in the field. One shall be taken, the other left. Here's these Navy SEALs. Here's the Green Berets. I heard somebody say the other day, the Green Berets get tired of being left out. All you hear about is the Navy SEALs. So the Rangers. What are all these special op groups? These deep state characters are being rounded up. Two women should be grinding at the mill. The one should be taken, the other. If you may be at work one day and they come in the door with a warrant for somebody you've been working with and you didn't have a clue that they were involved in what they were involved in. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he's coming as a thief, all right, but it ain't the rapture. It's not that film that scared me as a young woman. Dana was a little bitty baby, and we were at church, and we watched A Thief in the Night. And I come home so scared, I was just fretting. And the Holy Spirit came up in me with peace, like, it's going to be okay. And I've never feared the end times to this day because that peace come up in me. Like, don't fret about it. It's not. He was probably trying to tell me, that's a fake. That's a fake news. It's not going to be that way. Watch, the thief would come. He would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. He's coming as a thief to those who are not his. Because they are arrogant and they are proud and they think they're going to live forever with their adrenochrome fixes or whatever they're doing. Their med beds and their adrenochrome and all this other stuff. They think they're going to live forever, and a lot of them look pretty good for the age they are. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and a wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing, not gazing up. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But if that servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, they know he's coming. Don't you think for a minute these, whatever they are, don't know he's coming. And shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and upon him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the day I'm talking about where they're going to be running for their bunkers. They'll be wailing. Wailing. There's a lot of Christians, I wonder, they're wanting the Lord to come, but I'm thinking, you may be wailing and not realizing it. Oh, Lord, help us today. All right, let's keep going. 25, we're on the roll here. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. They're the gazing bunch. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. See, the marriage supper of the Lamb is the watching the birds devour the carnage. We've already taught on that. It's not some feast with, you know, all this food for 7 years in heaven. No. It's when Jesus comes with his holy ones on white horses, and he's got the vesture dipped in blood. It's when he slays the wicked. That's when the tares come out from the wheat, the separation. He's taken out the wicked from the wheat. You know what? If you've got a real pretty flower bed and everything, you're very careful to pull the weeds out lest you pull up the flowers with it. Yeah. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, another 2, to another 1, to another, every man according to his several ability, and straightway he took his journey. Then he that received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. In fact, you know, he's one of those gazers. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that received 5 talents came and bought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowest not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming, I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it to him which hath 10 talents. For every one that hath shall be given, he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. That's what's happening with the wicked right now. They're being stripped of all assets, given to the righteous. The wealth of the sinners laid up for the righteous. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, that shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. He shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Is it always amazing that politics has always been the right and the left? Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was anhungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. And I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. In other words, they obeyed the Lord and what he gave them to do towards humanity. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw thee unhungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? This is going to be one of the biggest things in this new millennial, is humanitarian projects. It's a big thing. And the distribution of money has a lot to do with your heart and how your heart is about money. More money will be allotted, especially to people that are applying for these different things to help humanity. More money will be released to those that have pure hearts to, well, I want to buy houses for people, or I want to buy cars for people, or whatever. Money will be allotted for that through the system. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee unhungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, insomuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. They did it for humanity's sake. You're a fellow human being. I'm not here to judge you or whether you're living right or whatever. That's between you and God, but I'm here to help you. How can I help you? How can I serve you? Think about a world like that, that everybody serves. The greatest in the kingdom is the servant. These shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. They've killed thousands upon thousands upon thousands of servicemen and women through these horrible, bloody wars and made money off of it. I was a stranger, you took me in, not in. Naked, you clothed me not. Sick and in prison, you visited me not. Sending elderly people to nursing homes or sick people in nursing homes to kill off all the elderly. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered or athirst or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister unto thee? Some of these leaders, they've got mansions and they've got billions and billions of dollars. They've got rich and corrupt politics. And they don't want a wall. They want to flood all the cities with illegals that are not good to hurt and to harm. While they live behind their mansions and their big walls and their security guards. God sees it all. And he has an accounting. And he, reckoning day is here. Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, insomuch as you did not do this for the least of these, yet he did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. In fact, all of these Democrats that are in these districts, all of their cities are slums. They're just trashed. Because the money that they got to help the people, they pocketed it and built their mansions. All right, God sees it all. We've already looked at what the harvest is. It's the separating of the tares from the wheat and burning the tares. People do not realize what God really says today. If they did, they would not be standing around and gazing up. All right, Matthew 13. Just waiting for the rapture. All right, Matthew 13:24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. They have corrupted everywhere. But I can't blame them for that. You know, we woke up and we see it now, and we're changing things. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. See, his tares look just like wheat. See, they infiltration. He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while we gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. We hear so much, you know, I've already taught on the harvest, that they teach, oh, it's the big incoming of souls. Well, I don't doubt there'll be a lot of souls coming in, but it's not what it's talking about. It's talking about God's harvesting. He's taking the tares out of the wheat. Let them both grow together until the harvest. In the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Father's house. Yeah. Okay, Revelation 14. verse 14. And I looked and behold a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. It is ripe. I mean, so ripe, they're having to flood the tunnels in D.C. Probably the stench is something else. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even to the horses' bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. This is a battle of Armageddon right here. This is that harvest. This is the harvest. All right. Where the blood's going to flow. I mean, the blood came out of the winepress. They're going to be crushed. My personal opinion here is that we are at that place right now. Just watch as the dominoes start to fall with the election recount in Arizona, which I showed Danny just before. I had a notification that said that new judge, see, the other judge was a Republican, but he recused himself. So they elected another judge who is Democrat. Maybe he's not Democrat, he's just Democrat. And he allowed them to go ahead with the process. So that was a victory. But we've been praying too, so we should expect that. All right. Those in the know are standing up and taking care of the master's business, so we will not be ashamed at his coming. And make no mistake, he is coming just like he said. 1 John 2:28, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Okay. Now, I want to read some scriptures to you about his coming. These are all in the New Testament, I think. I'm pretty sure. I'm going to go through these pretty quick, so if you just want to listen. There's like 23 scriptures about his promised coming, so I'm going to read them to you. The first one's in Matthew 16. I tried to get them in order so that I could go through them pretty quick. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Now, I told you those on white horses are not the saints. There's another thing that we've been taught that's not accurate. It's his angels. Those chariots that follow, like Elijah, you know, chariots of fire all around. Okay. All right, Matthew 24:30. You know, they're so blatant in what they do, just like the Georgia Guidestones. It's been out there since 1980 for every eye to see. But symbolism will be their downfall, right? And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the scribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. All right, I already read 25 to you, just a couple of verses. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. All right, 26:64. Jesus said unto him, thou hast said, nevertheless I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Lots of references to him coming in the clouds, just like he said in Acts chapter 1. I don't see any rapture, anything. I'm sorry, I don't see it anywhere. Now, there's going to be those that will be caught up and to meet the Lord. I'm not sure when that is or when that bunch is, but I see no secret catching away. All right. Mark 8:38. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. I put here Revelation 19 when he comes on the horses. All right. Luke 12. 37. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. How about that? Okay, verse 40. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. All right, Luke 19:13. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. All right, Luke 21:26. Men's heart failing them for fear and looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. I'm telling you, we're seeing things on the earth right now that we never thought that we would ever see in our lifetime. In fact, I used to think, Lord, how are you going to come? Because, you know, it's pretty good still, or we thought. We just, our eyes were not open yet. But you look at it now and you go, dear Lord. Okay. John 14:3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. All right. We've all thought that's mansions in heaven, and maybe it is. Maybe it's the waiting place, but he's restoring the earth. It's been restored back to where it was, like in the garden. Okay, 1 Corinthians 4:5. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. That sounds like that quantum system. The hearts of men right here will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, people's hearts. You won't be able to hide. Okay. Philippians 3. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. All right, 1 Thessalonians 1:10. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. All right, 1 Thess 3:13. To the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Well, here's one, him coming with his saints. Okay. 4:16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Maybe that's when that happens. When he's coming again, he's going to shout and all of them are going to come out of the graves. And it says, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. It says to comfort one another with those words. All right, let's 1 Thessalonians 5:1-3. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that that day should overtake you as a thief. Okay. All kinds of scriptures about it. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. All right, 2 Thessalonians 1:7-8. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Okay, 1 Timothy 6:14. That thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming. 2 Timothy 4:1. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. His appearing and his kingdom. Okay, Titus 2:13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. All right, Hebrews 9:28. Now if somebody asks you, where does it talk about the coming of the Lord? I said, there's only at least 23 scriptures about it. 9:28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. James 5:7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, till he receive the early and latter rain. So he's talking about the harvest here. The precious fruit of the earth. That'd be the saints. Okay, keep going here. 1 Peter 4:5. Who shall give an account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. Okay, that didn't exactly say he was coming, but, you know, he's here to judge the quick and the dead. All right, 5:4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Okay, 2 Peter 3:4. And saying, where is the promise of his coming, since the fathers fell asleep? All things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. All right. 1 John 2:28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Jude 14:15. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of their deeds and of their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons and admiration because of advantage. You know, they've gotten so bold that even in the Congress they're standing up and saying, no, God's not welcome here. Old Nadler said that. I call him the penguin. He looks like the penguin. All right, Revelation 3:3. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. All right, Revelation 16:15. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame. And listen to this. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. It's where it's all coming down. There's the harvest right there. Battle of Armageddon. 22:12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. All right. Approximately 23 references of his promised coming. So now we don't have to be caught up gazing or caught gazing up or standing idle, but doing what he has put into our hands to do. I certainly do not want to be ashamed when he comes.